Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. And this is a podcast that I wanted to make in relation to work on the chakras, and specifically in relation to healing the feminine through the chakras. So I want to pack it with information about chakras from 1 to 7 and see, you know, in terms of what we can do and how much we can heal when we go through the chakras. And a lot of that might be something that you already know. So I will try to be as concise as possible. And I know that we know much more about chakras now than we did, you know, 10 years ago, and so many more of us are awakened, and we know, even intuitively, we must, about the energy centers in our body. And I do start with a 7-chakra system, although I am perfectly aware that there are many energy centers in our body that go way beyond the seven major centers. And, you know, we have perhaps hundreds of energy connections. Some of them are in our physical body. Some of them are in our larger energy field. So when we speak about 7 chakras, this is really the major energy system. And I certainly do not mean to say that this is restricted to this energy field, but still, for the purpose of my sessions and for the purpose of the healing that I am doing, and you know, the work that I do, I like to refer to 7 chakras as major energy centers. It is still a system that works, and of course, I'm perfectly aware that there are many more energy centers within and outside of our physical body. So I use 7 chakras as a roadmap to do the healing work that I do. And this is what I'm going to speak about in this podcast. But obviously, I am perfectly aware that our energy body consists of a much larger system, and we certainly have many more energy centers than just these major 7. Okay, so what was it that I was going to speak about? This is a podcast where I really introduce my work with the goddess energy. So it is a podcast really meant for women who want to work with the goddess energy that all of us carry and who want to bring it forward and make it more visible. And my goal with this work that I'm doing is to really bring forward this goddess, the radiant goddess with all her chakras lit up, a living rainbow and a new template of the divine feminine. And to be honest, none of us really know. We have never had this experience of what it means to be a lit up divine feminine, shining her light into the world. And I do believe that if all of our chakras are lit up and aligned the right way, we as women, we can embody a goddess in a human body, and we can radiate power, sensuality, purity, love, the ability to forgive, the ability to be on our path, and the ability to speak our truth, the ability to intuit our own guidance, and also the ability to connect with the divine, while at the same time being grounded and present in our earthly bodies, in Mother Earth. And really speaking about the divine feminine, healing the wounds of the feminine is not easy. Because in most cultures and in most world religions, we have been taught to worship the lower form of the goddess. Imagine Mother Mary. Or Mary Magdalene. And think of Mother Mary and Jesus, a virgin mother who gives birth to a son, a divine being, but for some reason, this is an asexual relation, something that cannot be tainted by a human relationship. And then on the other side of it, Mary Magdalene, who was supposed to be a prostitute, a fallen woman possessed by seven demons, so, you know, all the seven deadly sins embodied in her, because God forbid she would be a consort and a wife and a partner. And the aspects of the collective consciousness that we carry, even though we may not be aware of it consciously, but the collective consciousness that we are connected to, it still carries those two dichotomous attributes of a woman, the Madonna and the whore, and there can be nothing in between. So part of the work that I'm hoping to do is healing both of these two aspects, because, right, we could have had a mother, a real woman mother, and a partner in healing, a partner in work, a partner in the mission. There is nothing wrong with either of those roles, but we have been taught to worship the dichotomous feminine. And it's true, I believe, in many religious traditions. I mean, I come from the Christian background, and I carry some of those templates, but for those of you who have, you know, experienced Buddhism or Hinduism or Judaism or other traditions, I'm sure you can find similarities between what you have learned about women and the dichotomy, lack of healthy feminine templates, lack of something to work with. For us women, something healthy, balanced, a picture of who we women can be when we are fully ourselves. So I think you can agree with me that the world really needs a goddess, but we can expect a lot of obstruction and resistance when we start working with those templates. And I can tell you, for my part, whenever I start to work with this and whenever I try to go further in really working with the goddess template and trying to heal the divine feminine, the obstructions I experience are simply out of this world. It is really, really hard to work with this. It can be mental level problems. It can be really tangible physical problems, you know, like cars breaking down, I don't know, issues in the house. There are real physical tangible problems that actually prevent us from working with those goddess energies because it is so important. I sincerely do believe that. And as a twin flame, I can also tell you that we are here to transform the old templates of femininity, but at the same time, also the templates of masculinity, of this dance between the masculine and feminine. And it means necessarily transforming the connection to the divine, connection to the earth. So we are here to transform the old and co-create the new. And really, as women, we are called now to be the midwives of the new feminine template, and none of us know quite for sure what it's going to be like. So that is the challenge with the work, with the time that we're in, that we do not quite know what it's going to be like, but we're called to transform it and to work with it, the new feminine template. So we're all on a path of initiation, and we're messengers, and we are going through the desert, this cloud of unknowing, in a way. So for sure, it's not supposed to be easy. But I do believe that as souls, we have agreed to volunteer, and we have agreed to be those, you know, harbingers of the new template, however messy it may be in this round, but maybe in lifetime 2 and 3 after this, it will get more orderly, and those who come after us will actually reap the fruits of what we are sowing now. And it doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but I do personally believe that this is what we are doing. We are sowing the seeds of the new feminine template. And this is, I believe this is part of the work that I'm doing now and that I've been called to do. So healing some of those aspects of the divine feminine. So just to say, basically, I'm not interested in these sessions to, you know, open up the Kundalini and have the energy flow from the base of the spine and up. What I'm more interested in is connecting you with the divine feminine, with the aspects of the goddess as are embodied in the chakras. So I am more interested in connecting upwards. So connecting with the goddess aspects. I don't think Kundalini may necessarily be very safe, a safe way to work with, especially with distance healing. So I choose to work with filling up with the goddess energies as they are represented in each of the chakras. So my goal is to connect from higher up, with source energies and with the higher guidance from above. Okay, so in terms of the chakras, right? So I think we all know that chakras are energy centers and the soul and the chakras are hugely and intimately connected. And the first chakra, which is our root, so it is approximately at the base of our body, at the perineum, so where the genitals are, right? And it represents earth connection and grounding, nourishment, trust, and connecting with family, and also setting boundaries. And the development stage of the first chakra is from the moment of birth to 1 year old. So it's this very, very, very basic connection with the earth incarnating and really coming to life. And the basic right is understandably the right to be here, the right to have. So if you have any difficulty receiving, or feel that you don't have a right to be on earth, or that you have to hide in your closet, or you don't want to live, this is the first chakra issue. So any issues where your soul doesn't want to come down, where also perhaps someone in your family didn't want a pregnancy, didn't want you to be born, this is all first chakra issues. You may have not known about it, but you picked up some of those energies. And as advanced souls, we also tend to take on guilt. For example, you know, a grandmother didn't want you to be born, or your parents had problems in their relationship, and you take on the guilt for this happening, and you feel, well, it's me. I have a problem. Something is wrong with me. I'm the one to blame. This is something that we all carry as advanced souls. I'm so bad, I destroy everything, I don't deserve. So the energies of the first chakra are crucial to clear if you want to manifest any happiness whatsoever in your life. And the mind-body issues related to the first chakra are immune system issues, so any allergies or, you know, immune system disorders, bones, including osteoporosis, blood, swollen joints, arthritis, fibromyalgia, and any ancestral issues in relation to the feminine. Also in terms of soul level issues, the first chakra carries all of the times, all of those issues of the soul not wanting to incarnate from the very beginning of time. So any feelings of mistrust and abandonment from the divine, that's all that is stored in your first chakra. Any fears of survival, strength, desire to give up, to let it go. The second chakra is one of the most crucial chakras for the feminine and for working with the goddess energies. And it is being developed from around 6 months old to 2 years, so very early stages of development, when you're still a baby, learning to walk, learning to connect. And really the basic right is to feel and to have pleasure. So the second chakra governs autonomy versus shame and doubt. And it also stores a lot of guilt issues. Some of those are in the third chakra, but a lot of guilt, especially in relation to pleasure, this is stored in the second chakra. If you had any form of sexual abuse, molestation, etc., these energies would also be stored in the second chakra. And is responsible for our creation, our manifestation. So these blocks would also affect your ability to create the life that you want. They may not be related. They seem not to be related, right? Sexual abuse and creating. But at the energy level, they are. So until you have worked through the issues of abuse, the issues of not having right to pleasure, until you have worked through those, you will most likely not have this capacity to receive, to create as well. So the second chakra governs very much how much receiving we are willing to take in. Also, it governs the dependence, independence in relationships. So what it means is that if we are afraid of getting consumed by the relationship, right, so we're going to push back. And these issues are also stored in the second chakra. Any past relationships, past sexual relationships, any cords in terms of sexuality, these are all plugged into the second chakra. Any sexual trauma, sexual abuse, all of it is there, any past relationships. At the same time, the second chakra is a powerful gate. It is a gate to manifestation and a gate to our mission. It is also a gate to open to the beloved companion. And this means both your soul connection, but above all, first and foremost, the creator, the beloved of the soul, right? The universe, God. So it is a gate of surrender to the beloved, to the divine. On all of the wounds of the sacred sacral chakra are our gateway to power. The gateway of standing more in our power. And essentially, all of our wounds are gateway to power. again, if we're closed at this gateway, the other, the man, the people we consort with, our coworkers, friends, they will feel it. They will feel our closed energy, and they will sense that we're not inviting them. Especially in terms of romantic relationships, a closed second chakra would mean that men do not feel an invitation to be the beloved, to be a sexual partner. So while consciously we may seek sexual relationships, we are pushing them away because at the energetic level, our sacral chakra is closed. So it also stores all of those wounds of rejection, abandonment, of being unwanted, right? And then on the other hand, of all the unwanted sexual attention, of being abused by looking, you know, by having been looked at in an improper way, by men connecting to you in ways that are less than proper. So it's a very, very, it's a crucial chakra for the feminine, because I'm sure you can resonate with both of those extremes. And we have all struggled with it. So the second chakra is the gateway to the feminine power. It's the gateway to the womb, the creative power of the goddess. And it's a very important aspect to work with. And of course, in our sessions, we do work with it, but I also give you two. Okay. So it appears we have had some technical problems in connecting, so let's continue. In terms of the further chakras, so the third chakra, like the power center, the solar plexus, it's all about balance, and it's been developed in the ages from a year and a half to 4 years old. And this is a very important bonding time. So any bonding issues that you may have had from, you know, 1 year old to four, and this is a very important time. So if you were not held, if you were not touched enough as a child during this time, it is usually shown as bonding wounds. If you were not close enough to the mother, especially the primary caregiver. And the main issues that are stored in the third chakra are the sense of adequacy. So it's really about, I'm able to do things, I'm able to accomplish. It's about going out into the world, taking steps to the union with God, the union with the beloved, and any issues in relation to aggression and competition as well. So the basic right that the third chakra governs is the act to be, the be an individual, the right to act, the right to be present, the right to stand up for yourself. And especially some soul groups, the soul groups that are, let's say, more advanced than others or have experienced life in higher dimension than others, they end up believing that they should hide, that they should not take up space. Let the bullies take up space. Let those who can show more power, who can push everyone else aside, let them take up space. But we, you know, it's hopeless for me to try anyway. So these are the issues. They're actually very significant aspects of how advanced souls feel, that they, you know, in terms of being present on Earth. And it also carries responsibility. You know, taking responsibility. Responsibility is not the same as blame. okay? Taking responsibility for the world does not mean taking the blame for everything that happens around you. Responsibility means that you say, look, I'm not going to be an innocent bystander. I am going to fight for what is important. But that does not mean that I am to blame. I am not. I am just going to take responsibility for everything, you know, to say that, look, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for the little tiniest part of me that causes you, that causes the world to stumble. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you for showing me my shortcomings. That's responsibility. That does not mean that I'm taking blame or that I feel guilty. Responsibility means taking charge, taking control. Responsibility means acknowledging that I create my own reality to the extent that I'm capable of. And of course, I always co-create. There is a world around me. But I, for my part, choose to take 100% responsibility for the reality I create. And no one else and nothing else matters for me. Right? So as advanced selves, we do not fit into the regular boxes, right? We do not fit into our families or religions or lack of it. And we internalize and we think that something is wrong with us and end up feeling that we don't cut it or that, you know, we are the guilty ones. So really, using our third chakra means putting ourselves at risk, putting ourselves into a place of power. And also the third chakra, the solar plexus, governs the aspects of being over and under responsible and the issues of anger, distrustfulness, and vengeance. In terms of physical symptoms, the third chakra governs weight issues, right? So being overweight or underweight, ulcers, diabetes, liver. And so, you know, you can look at illnesses as guiding to unresolved issues at the chakra level. The third chakra is also a crucial chakra for mission and power. And we all need to keep clearing it. To stay attuned and to know what choices to make. And it's also an important chakra in terms of shame. So, for example, if you were shamed as a kid, this may be a block that stays with you at the third chakra, and it filters the energies that are coming in. So if somebody wants to get close to you, is drawn to you, you know, not necessarily in the romantic sense. Let's say a business partner wants to work with you. A client comes to you and wants to book, I don't know, 10 sessions with you to work more deeply on their healing. But this energy comes in through the filters of shame and you start feeling uncomfortable. And you say to yourself, I don't want this. You know, this is terrible. That's too close. That's awful. I don't want this. So this is the issue between you and shame. It's really a shame-based issue. It's not an issue between you and your client. So once I go upward to the fourth chakra, it's the heart chakra, right? And it governs the right to love and to be loved. And it's being developed between the ages of 4 and 7, so a very formative period when we start interacting with our peers, when we go maybe to kindergarten or to preschool. So it really governs all the parts of you that feel, you know, that you just don't cut it, or you're too bad, or the other guy is too bad. And it's also connected to taking on the suffering of others. And any unresolved sorrow that you may carry for yourself, your ancestry, or souls you're connected with. So, additionally, if you choose to incarnate in a place full of suffering, where everybody has grief, right, in a place of war with lots of death energy, etc. So these are the issues that you need to clear as well from your heart chakra. And the heart chakra governs the fear of rejection. So, for example, you know, I'd rather be miserable than risk rejection, this terrible fear of being rejected. It carries all the energy of having been criticized when you were a kid, being heartbroken for not feeling adequate for having been criticized so much, and also any breast cancer, blood pressure, arteries issues are related to heart chakra issues. So having, you know, feeling hopeless, giving too much, feeling betrayed. And so going up, the fifth chakra governs the throat, right? The area of speaking, but also listening, and the higher will. So it's being developed between the ages of 7 to 12, and it really is related to expressing yourself. And abuse, emotional abuse or sexual abuse, influences the development of the fifth throat chakra enormously. So anything in terms of hearing or being heard, speaking, and also domination or being dominated. So any aspect of being too pushy, of kind of overstating, okay, this is what I want, this is my truth, and I don't want to listen to anything else. This is an aspect of a fifth chakra. And also any fear of expressing ourselves. Alternatively, it carries the energies of not listening, of introversion, shyness, not wanting to talk, and on a mind-body level, throat, mouth, neck, thyroid gland issues, right? So starting from this chakra upwards, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh, they really govern spiritual issues. So while at the lower chakras, we were looking at the physical body, at incarnating, at, you know, those issues with growing up, etc. These are the chakras that are more connected to the spiritual body, to our soul. And it's also a chakra that urges us to find who we really are. Understanding that we are the creators, not helpless victims. And the fifth chakra is the first chakra that is the gateway to the higher realms. So it's really a place where we can start plugging in into the stream of consciousness and creativity. Okay, so further up is the sixth chakra, right, the third eye. And it is developed in the period of adolescence, and it governs perception, thought, and morality as well. So any aspects of us being overly rigid, being set in our ways, having this one truth and not willing to listen, because truth and wisdom are very different things, right? I have my truth and I can fight for it, and maybe my life mission to stand up for my truth, but this does not mean that my truth is the only truth. Wisdom is the capacity to bear paradox, is the capacity to understand that my truth may be the exact opposite of someone else's truth, and we are both right, because none of us can see 100%. We are fighting for our truth. So while I choose to stand 100%, choose to stand up for what I believe in, I would not assume that my truth is the only one that exists, because someone else's truth may be 100% equally as valid. And that is the measure of my spiritual advancement, the measure of my spiritual capacity to accept the paradox that two opposing truths may be equally valid, because wisdom encompasses both of them, because there is always a higher vantage point which sees both of these truths as true. So this is the chakra of truth and courage and mental clarity, but its downside is right unwillingness to listen and being set in your ways and not wanting to accept the fact that right your truth is not everything. So in terms of manifesting, it's also a chakra of intention. So you do want to bring in healing and connection to the divine. In terms of mind-body issues, so it governs eyes, seeing, nose, allergies, sinus issues, the brain, including Parkinson's disease, being too focused on the issue, ignoring the broader context. So any mind map, mind grid level blocks. And in terms of going further up, so there is the seventh chakra, the chakra that connects us to the divine. And that is the chakra where really we get to receive the awakening, the understanding, the enlightenment, and it governs our thoughts and our consciousness. So it's developed through early adulthood, and it's being developed throughout our life, the seventh chakra, the one at the crown of our head. And the primary orientation is really towards self-knowledge. And it's all about awareness, presence, and intelligence. So the seventh chakra, the crown, is about our consciousness uniting with the divine consciousness, about really using our mind as a channel for the divine. And it's also about paying attention. Wherever your attention goes, your energy flows, and this is where you will get return on your investment. And this is something we have to struggle with throughout, right? None of us are perfect. We can do really, really great, and then our attention wanders away, and boom, we're off for a week. But the truth is, wherever our attention goes, the energy flows, and that's where we get our return. So if we focus our attention on the negative things, that is what we are going to reap. Wherever our attention is focused upon, it creates our experience. Okay, so the seventh chakra is also related to our beliefs, our spirituality, our religion, our connection to the divine, our spiritual practices, our ability to receive the divine, to accept the divine, to practice meditation, to practice connection with the source. Okay, so I really hope that this has been helpful, and I've tried to give a very brief overview of the chakras and the work that we can do with all of them. And this has been a podcast which was really theory grounded, more than practice grounded, and it was related to my radiant goddess healing program. So if you want to learn more about that, you're welcome to check out my website and the 4-series healing session that I offer. Thank you for listening, and all the best.